Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Isaac Weishaupt. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Nah, it's Sam Tripoli. Damn, wrong person. The show we're doing today is a short one. It's a fun one. It's a Thanksgiving show. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving and Black Friday. The origins, the conspiracy theories. There's a conspiracy theory behind everything. Didn't you know that? So we're going to do that. Today, and yeah, I don't know. You know, there's it's not a lot to talk about, but we're going to talk about it, right? Because I thought it's fun. And why not? Why not join in the festivities? You know, I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of those great holidays that, if you listen to the show I did with Josie Weishaupt, Breaking Social Norms, we did a Thanksgiving special. And I defended Thanksgiving. I would argue, out of the three big holidays of Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, I mean, you can even throw New Year's in there too, I guess. Yeah, you can throw New Year's in too. Out of those four big ones, Thanksgiving's the only one that's fun on the day of the holiday. Prove me wrong. Halloween is great, the whole lead up to it, but, you know, as an adult, Halloween day, like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's fine, it's fun. I'm not trying to say it's not fun, but it's not like a kid we used to trick or treat. And I'm speaking from the adult perspective. Obviously, as a child, I think the big winner is going to be Christmas. Second place is probably Halloween. Third is a tie between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. New Year's Day, I guess, is the holiday, right? But that's as a kid. But as an adult, Thanksgiving is number one out of the big four. Because on Halloween, it's the lead up to Halloween that's fun as an adult, because you're going to parties and haunted houses and watching movies and blah, 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 you know? Thanksgiving, the day of, is a blast because you're eating all day. It's great. Christmas, again, same story as Halloween. Lead up, better than the actual holiday. Controversial theory and opinion, I know. But the lead up to Christmas, the anticipation of Christmas, is more fun than Christmas. And besides, you know, Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Christ anyway, you know? Sorry, my hair is, if you're watching the video on the Rockfin, my hair is doing a cute little twirly bird on me. Sorry about that. I'm cute, I can't help it. I'm just a kid. And then New Year's Eve. Far superior to New Year's Day. New Year's Day sucks. You just sit around with a hangover all day. It's shit. Or you're cleaning up from Christmas still, putting Christmas away, and you're starting the sad final few months of winter there. So, point being, Thanksgiving is the best holiday out of the bunch. Prove me wrong. But we're going to talk today about Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about Black Friday. Where do these things actually come from? In fact, I was born on Thanksgiving. Let's talk about me for a minute. There's three satanic holidays. One of them's your birthday, and I just celebrated mine. I was actually born on Thanksgiving, adding to how great this holiday is. Now, of course, Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday of every year, right? So my birthday doesn't always land on it. And we're going to talk about, I've got a Gumroad offer. I'm doing half off while supplies last. You could liquidate my whole store. I got signed paperbacks. I still got some coffee mugs. I got some shirts. I don't have the 70s ringer shirts in yet. I'm still waiting on those. Half off everything. Use code ONELOVE, all one word, gumroad.com/IsaacW. I'll talk about it later in more detail. I already sold a ton of books and stuff already, so we're running out. For my birthday, I'm giving you half off my hardest labor, my labors of love, my little versions of my brain. I'm just sending your way. And one more piece of housekeeping. Jedi Mind Tricks, one of the greatest rap groups of all time. They dropped a new album, The Funeral and the Raven, I think it's called. I just listened to it. It's fantastic. It's one of their best ones. Stoops back on production. It's fire. Take a listen to that if you like Jedi Mind Tricks. I'm wearing my nonfiction t-shirt today, you know. The other super group. Still waiting for them to drop a new album. It's been 15 years. Okay, and then today we're going to do tier 4 shout-outs. Dedications, we call that. And heads up, if you're... Heads up here. Okay, I got the three supporter platforms. I got Rockfin, I got Patreon, I got the VIP section. And I'm revamping the Patreon and the VIP perks. I don't know what I'm going to do yet with it. Rockfin's pretty easy. Like, Rockfin, you get a lot. You get a lot of bang for your buck. Now you're getting 4K videos of my show. But the other... I'm revamping it. So I did a poll. If you haven't seen it, if you're on the Patreon team, unfortunately, I can't do the survey for the VIP folks, so I'm going to take the percentages from the Patreon poll to assume it fits in line. And I'm going to revamp it. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but the new year, it's going to be different. And I'm trying to give you the most bang for your buck. This isn't me trying to be shiesty. I just feel like there's some things that I do, including the shout outs and the dedications, that I'm kind of like, do you guys even want this stuff? The live streams. There's not a lot of people doing the live stream. I'm like, maybe you guys don't even care about this. Maybe you'd want me to focus my efforts somewhere else. Like, what I'm finding out is people want me to read through the comments and the messages better on Patreon, which obviously the VIP section, you don't get that little benefit. So trying to make it work for everybody. I'm serving three masters here in some way. Four, if you include the free feed, because I want to keep the free feed people happy too. And one idea that someone suggested to me was, why don't you offer up more bonus shows on the supporter feeds? Like, right now I give them like one a month. Why don't you give them two a month? And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. But here's the problem with that. I don't like that idea. Because now I'm limiting more information that I want to share. And ultimately, that's what this is all about. So I'm going back and forth in my mind. My mind is telling me no. So we're going to do that. I don't know what. This might be the last shout out dedications you hear ever. But we're going to do them today. The tier 4 dedications. All right. 7 minutes of housekeeping. Sorry. I'm trying to make this a 30-minute show, and I don't know if we're going to get there. There's not a lot to talk about. Thanksgiving. We're going to read from the book called Symbolism, Holidays, Myths, and Signs by Imam Alauddin Shabazz. Probably pronouncing it wrong. Shabazz. Right? And the who is this guy? Well, like, in the Muslim faith, ironically, we talked about Jedi mind tricks earlier. I'm like 99% sure Vinny Paz is Muslim. Anyway, he's an imam, and imam is kind of like the priest of the Islam faith, okay? And this guy, I don't know who turned me on to this book. I think it was Robert Sullivan. But I got some notes from the book. And it's all about symbolism of the holidays, the holy days. And I've written posts about this symbolism of the holidays in the past. Just to sort of summate what we talked about over there on the post, I'm going to read you from his book on the introduction. It says, just what is a symbol? It is a kind of a sign in any reality which, when known or when entering into our consciousness, leads to the knowledge of another reality apart from it, of which it is seen as the sign. And that's a topic we cover a lot, is this idea of signs, symbols, magicians charging, sigils, a similar idea. It's all about tapping into the unconscious, where they manipulate, influence, and create their own reality. I believe this firmly. There's not a lot of conspiracy theories that I get 100% behind, but I'm 100% behind that. I'm 100 and a billion % behind that, because Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, Edward Bernays, all these people understood the powers of the mind, and the propaganda that they give us is all about, as Sam would say, stealing your louche. And in the capitalist structure, it's about stealing your wealth. So they know it. And then there's the spiritual element of Luciferianism, which I always argue as part of the big game. In the book, he says, when we see smoke, we immediately conclude that associated with it is fire. That's a natural sign, okay? And he goes on, he talks about a symbol. A symbol is a very special kind of a sign. It is a substitute for the thing signified. It is a kind of logical and emotional stand-in for what it represents. For a symbol to be truly effective, it must be concatenated. The emotion or value associated with the reality, it is a sign of that, oh boy, a sign of must be transferred to the sign. That doesn't make any sense, does that? Let me reread that. For a symbol to be truly effective, it must be concatenated. The emotion or value associated with the reality, it is a sign of must be transferred to the sign. This must be a typo. Anyway, psychologically, this process is referred to as displacement. Yeah, this book's kind of ghetto, so it must be a typo. Because I read it correctly. So the process is displacement, the idea of a symbol, a sign, replacing the thing, right? Now, Dr. Alauddin Shabazz says here, he's an ordained minister, certified imam, degreed scholar of religious studies, historian, blah, blah, blah. So that's who he is. And he wrote this book, okay? Now, he goes through some symbolism in scripture. Obviously, it's got some Muslim leanings, right? And he covers each of the holidays. And, you know, maybe I'll come back and do the Christmas stuff. The Christmas stuff's pretty interesting. He's actually got a lot more on Christmas than he does Thanksgiving. With Thanksgiving, it's a little shorter. And it's going to be the Thanksgiving thing. I'm going to forewarn you, this is going to be some woke shit, right? And speaking of housekeeping for 2022, I'm thinking about bagging the tagline, the infamous tagline, the sign-off of Stay Woke. I've changed the tagline a couple times. Not sure if I want to do it or not. Because the problem is the term woke has become this toxic term, right? Woke to me is to become aware of the manipulation and to rise above it and to understand the real nature of reality. That's what it means to me. But to the rest of the world, it's slowly turning into something much different and worse, obviously. Part of like this big, which is kind of how this reads. I'm just going to read to you from it, okay? The Thanksgiving, okay, says has many symbolic meanings. In 1621, which, by the way, today is the 400th anniversary of the mythology of Thanksgiving. And depending on what you read, because I read some articles like from New York Times, they say that really the Thanksgiving thing isn't real. They think there was a three-day feast in 1621 and we attribute that to Thanksgiving. It might not necessarily be the case. Who cares, right? Thanksgiving, what it means to us, is more important. And we'll come back to that in the conclusion. Okay, in 1621, Governor Bradford of Massachusetts issued a proclamation decreeing a feast of celebration to commemorate the gathering of the first harvest of the pilgrims who landed a year prior in 1620. Celebration, according to history, lasted 3 days. Then he quotes this other guy. Later on, he says, the general historical background of Thanksgiving is rooted in the Protestant Reformation, which began in 1517 and included the 30-Year War. The 30 Years' War was set in motion when one group of Europeans calling themselves Protestants threw another group of Europeans known as Catholics out of the castle windows in Parquet, Bohemia in the year 1618. And what we're going to find out is that Thanksgiving has its roots in King Henry VIII trying to bang Anne Boleyn. Hey, you know? I used to be a mechanic. I was a mechanic for many years, and I've heard many inappropriate terms and phrases and slogans and things. And I'm not going to repeat them for the sake of my my audience, but there's a phrase about how powerful the, how can I put this delicately? There's a phrase to be said about how powerful the love of a woman can be in our world. Stronger than a pack of mules, okay? And that's what gave us Thanksgiving. That's what this argument is, this book is saying. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there, folks. The origins of Thanksgiving Day is at the point where England became embroiled in a bitter controversy with Rome, which takes us back to the reign of the gluttonous and insatiably frivolous Henry VIII. I don't know if you've seen The Tudors on Showtime. I think it was on Showtime. It was a very great series. One of my favorite. Me and Josie talked about this on our Breaking Social Norms Thanksgiving special. But that's what the whole show was about, Henry VIII. Trying to get rid of his old wife, Catherine of Aragon. Because he wanted to get with Anne Boleyn. Played by Natalie Dormer. And hey, you know what? I don't blame him. She looked pretty good. And her personality was fire, okay? Now, the Protestant Reformation, and I'm going to try to, like, zoom out for some people, because I know some of this is probably confusing, some of this boring history stuff. I'm going to read to you, and then we'll talk. The Protestant Reformation, those who protested against the Roman papacy and deemed themselves to be the purifiers of the European religion, commonly misnomered Christianity, began to grow in recognition by the state when Henry VIII fancied that it could be a vehicle to help him achieve personal aims, the primary one being to divorce his present wife, Catherine of Aragon, and marry the young Anne Boleyn. So basically, back in the day, England... So you got to understand some things about history, and I know very little, but the church was in tandem with the royal bloodlines, with the royal family, and they basically called the shots on everything. They told you every way to live. And it used to be the Roman Catholic Church was in bed with the Church of England, okay, the center of European civilization. And Henry VIII, the Tudor bloodline, who was running, he was the king, he had his hands tied by the Pope Clement the, I don't know, the fifth or the fourth or the third, I don't know which one. And they called all the shots, but they had to kind of work together to manipulate the world. And Henry VIII was like, hey, I want a divorce from Catherine of Aragon. And the Pope was like, no, you're married. This is permanent. And he was like, seriously, have you seen Anne Boleyn? I want a divorce, Pope. And the Pope was like, bro, God won't allow such a thing. So Henry VIII was like, fine. He's like, how can I divorce this chick and get with Anne Boleyn? Meanwhile, here comes Martin Luther with the Protestant Reformation. And he nails the treaties to the door of the church or whatever in protest. Because he was rabble-rousing the people. To be like, look, the Roman Catholics got it all wrong. They fell off from Christ and his original teachings. We're gonna get this right again. And they started this battle between the Catholics and the Protestants, okay? And Henry VIII is over there. He's scheming. He's scheming on that ass. He's like, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I'm gonna hook up with the Protestants and Martin Luther's movement, because I'll do them a favor by putting them in power, kicking out the Catholics and the Pope. And the Protestant, I don't know, whatever their version of the Pope is, will give me the divorce that I want, and I'm back in action, baby. So that's what he did. Let's see here. So they call this the Anglican Church when the Protestants took over with the help of Henry VIII, okay? Says the Anglican Church of England was established by Henry VIII. He appointed Thomas Cranmer as the Archbishop of Canterbury. The new ecclesiastical head in gratitude and under Henry's command quickly annulled the marriage to Catherine, whereupon Henry VIII married Anne Boleyn, who bore him the notorious Queen Elizabeth I. This somewhat dramatic move on the part of Henry VIII broke the powerful domination that Rome held over England for centuries. All this led up to the Pilgrims landing in America and the grim history of systematically destruction of the Aborigines of the country and mental genocide of millions of African descendants. Okay, so that's basically what happened. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Isaac, and I've got a deal for you. You want my signed paperbacks or ultra soft t-shirts, maybe? Or maybe a coffee mug while supplies last, of course. I've got a Black Friday deal. I'm doing 50% off. You go to gumroad.com/IsaacW, link in the show notes. You use promo code ONELOVE, all one word, and you'll get 50% off the product. Caveat on the t-shirts, I had to increase the shipping costs on the calculator there from $5 to $10 for a t-shirt. And the reason I had to do that is because otherwise, the way the math worked out, I'd be paying you to take the shirt. So I hope you understand what I'm doing there. But yeah, this is the first time I've ever done this and probably the last. So take advantage of this deal while it's applicable. I'm going to run it through Cyber Monday, meaning on Tuesday, November 30th, no longer will you get this option. I was going to do a lecture, if you recall, and I bought a whole gang of books. So help me clear out these books. And I will be providing that FanX lecture in due time. Things got crazy. All these satanic rappers hijacked my attention for weeks here. So yeah, that's the deal. Half off while supplies last on everything. Get on there first. Go to gumroad.com/IsaacW. I got signed paperbacks. I got coffee mugs. I got the world's most comfortable t-shirts you've ever seen. Use promo code ONELOVE, all one word, lowercase. I don't think it matters the casing, but all lowercase. Thanks again for all your support. What's up, everybody? If you hear that sultry voice, you know what time it is. It's that time of the month.
Ooh, I like how that tracks.
And I'm talking about the good time of the month. With the good time of the month where we hit the tier 4 shout-outs. A special kind of shout-out. We take it slow. We take it smooth and we take it sexy. Is this stupid? I don't know. This is just... I'm trying to give an extra special shout-out to my tier 4 folks. This is the top level of support. This is woke levels on fleek. The fleeksters. They went beyond the wokesters. They're the fleeksters. So, you know, without further ado, I'm going to roll through this list. And previously I said there was 2 people, and I was wrong. There's actually 5. So shout out. Let's start on Patreon. We got John P. We got Joshua V. We got Cheryl, the Cheryl, the one and only. And then the VIP, we got John G and Jason F. Shout out to everybody. Those are all the J's. We had the J names last time too, along with Cheryl, of course. So thank you everyone for your support. I'm gonna shoot you an email, you know, because I'll mail books to you. When you hit the tier 4, you get the books. So, look out for that. Thank you for your support, honestly. I mean that very much. And if you want to support the show, you know where to go. I got 3 support systems. Check them out. The tier systems are only available for Patreon and the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. Thanks, everybody. And then there's this whole talk about... You know, because Henry VIII, I think he died of, like, syphilis, right? He had a kid, but the kid died. Mary Tudor, who was the child from Henry VIII with Catherine of Aragon, she ran England after Henry VIII died. But the problem was she was super into Catholicism. And she wanted to try to get the Catholics back in charge of the Church of England or whatever, right? So she started trying to sort of set the stage for this revolt. Killed hundreds of leaders. And that's why they call her Bloody Mary, which is where the drink comes from, by the way. Bloody Mary. Which I don't like. It's a nasty little drink. Like, if I want tomato soup, I'll eat tomato soup. I don't want the drink. So the Protestant Revolution actually made it through all of this. The Catholics could never take it over. Mary, she didn't get the job done. And here comes Elizabeth I, who was the daughter of Anne Boleyn and Henry VIII. So she's the last of the bloodline of the Tudors, right? Because these psychopaths is all about the bloodline. But problem was, she never had kids. So that was it. It was a wrap after Elizabeth I. They called her the Virgin Queen, which is what the state of Virginia is named after, which is ironic because if you've ever been to Virginia, there's all this, or there used to be, I don't know, I'm an old guy. When I used to live back there in the 80s and 90s, it had all this tourist propaganda. Virginia is for lovers is the term. With the irony being, it was named after a virgin. Now, let's see here. They talk about how Anne Boleyn got her head cut off by Henry VIII. Terrible. Terrible way to treat her. Okay, by the end of Elizabeth's reign, the majority of the people in England adhered to the protest movement now called Protestantism. And Elizabeth I, she's dead. Okay? Now, the Protestants, they're still running stuff, but the problem is a branch of this group split off. Because I said, look, the Protestants don't even have it right. They're too Catholic still. And this group wanted a more pure movement. And here comes the Puritans, with the name of Puritan coming from the idea to purify the movement, the whatever. So, and this is where you get your Methodist Episcopalians, your Presbyterians, and so on. And these same organizations eventually became the Pilgrims. They set up shop in like Denmark and Holland for a while, and then they eventually came to the Americas and they were the Pilgrims. The Puritans were the Pilgrims. So in his book, he talks about, talks about how after Elizabeth I came in James Stuart, the infamous King James, right? And he was now he decided he was going to be the authority. No popes, no archbishops. He was the boss. And he's the one who said, we're going to rewrite the Bible. And arguably Francis Bacon rewrote it. That's what some people say, that Francis Bacon actually wrote the King James Version. Whatever. So it says here, because of the intensity of religious persecution of one group of Europeans in power against another group with a different school of religious conviction, the latter, in their efforts to avoid said persecution, went to Holland and later immigrated to America. This sojourn led one historian to designate them Pilgrims. Now, if you read, the New York Times has an article about Thanksgiving. New York Times will tell you that they were actually fine in Holland. They didn't need to leave at all. They argued that the reason they left Holland and Denmark was because they wanted to get the monies. They wanted to set up a colony and be, you know, the pioneers, the whatever. Whereas this reads more like they were persecuted still and they wanted religious freedom. But the New York Times article makes it sound like the Pilgrims were actually living in a place with the religious freedoms. They didn't like that there was religious freedom. They wanted to set up an authoritarian theocracy in America. Okay? So pick your woke poison. Which one do you want to believe? Okay, so Dr. John Reynolds, one of the Puritan leaders of the Church of England, suggested that James I could authorize a translation from Hebrew and Greek to the King James Version. So that happens in 1611. And here comes the Pilgrims. I already talked about that. So the Pilgrims, they disembark the Mayflower and they step on the large boulder memorialized in U.S. folklore as Plymouth Rock up in Massachusetts. So they were massholes right off the bat. Okay, so they get there in 1620. History tells us a year later they have this celebration, this three-day festival with the Native Americans, and they're all living in peace and harmony. But our re-understanding of history, which is a little woke but probably a little true, especially if you read Howard Zinn's The People's History of America, it wasn't so blissful. The Americans decimated the Native Americans and basically hijacked everything. But hey, you know what? Like, I wasn't around back then. Obviously, there were some dick moves to be had back then, but we're a different world now, right? We try to be, at least. So I'm not like, oh, let's get rid of Thanksgiving and make it sad. Like, I'm not for that, man. Sure, we can talk about the real truth about what happened and how terrible it was for some people. And we could, but we're going to talk about that in the conclusion, which is coming up soon. Okay, so in this book, Alauddin Shabazz says, at the first Thanksgiving celebration in 1621, there were only 6 or 7 sane people left in the entire pilgrim colony. The rest were mentally deranged. Why? Why is that? Well, he argues, and he gives you some books. He cites some books. He talks about how the early pilgrims, most of them died the first winter. Only a few were left, and that the rest of them went crazy. They were starving, and famine turned them into savages, and they started eating each other. They were cannibals. And he claims that other civilized people, like from Africa and Europe, had heard about the Americas. And I guess they took boat trips to check it out, like a vacation. And he points to all these documentations of how when the people came back from visiting the Americas, they said, wow, there's savages over there. And the people were like, oh, the Native Americans were savages? And they're like, no, the pilgrims were savages. They were eating each other. They're nuts. Because within a year, they went from, you know, however many people down to like 6 or 7, according to this book. So the truth is, things weren't so good there, right? And he goes, and he gives you some examples. And then he talks about, so basically, yeah, Thanksgiving comes from, the root of it goes back to Henry VIII trying to bang Anne Boleyn. Huh. And that's something. And that set off a chain of strange events. Then the interesting factoid about turkey. It says when the early settlers arrived in America, they saw a wild fowl that reminded them of the turkey cocks and turkey hens they had seen in Europe. That is the guinea fowl of Turkey, the country Turkey. So they named these strange American fowl turkeys. So they apparently saw the guinea fowl from the country Turkey and saw birds that looked similar and like, you're turkeys now. Later on, it was discovered that the American variety was an entirely different species, but we still call them turkeys just the same. The Thanksgiving Day celebration is far more remote than 1621. It goes way back to the time Europeans were taught civilization by African people. The common belief regarding this day is due to miseducation and lies by omission. The true meaning of Thanksgiving Day is hidden in the symbols surrounding it. So he suggests, and probably rightfully so, that especially when you look at ancient Egypt, right? Africa had a pretty advanced civilization, and we're led to believe that somehow the Europeans and the rest of the country were more advanced than them. And it's ironic that the turkey, which is it's the first, I made some notes here. The turkey is the first cousin of the buzzard, an American vulture of the hawk family. And birds, they symbolize spirituality generally, and especially in alchemy, when you look at alchemy. And the irony here is that the American holiday of Thanksgiving, symbolized by the turkey, is a bird that can't fly. Ain't that a bitch? So there you go. So that's Thanksgiving ruined for you. before we conclude, though, I want to briefly talk about Black Friday. Because there's many myths about the origin of what that means and where it came from. And I'm going to read you from history.com. You can trust them, right? They give you the ancient aliens. Why would they lie to us? Oh, no. They say here the first recorded use of the term of Black Friday was applied to a financial crash coordinated in 1869 by two Wall Street dickheads. They bought up all the gold they could to drive up the prices, and it led to a bankrupting of everyone. Greed. Then they'll talk about, because a lot of people will say, well, Black Friday is represented of financial jargon. Because when you say you're in the red, that means you're losing money. When you're in the black, that means you're gaining money. That's what people think Black Friday means, is all this revenue. Not according to history.com. They say the real history goes back to the 1950s to the great, great city of Philadelphia, which we just talked about, Jedi Mind Tricks. Was this the third reference we could lump in there from Philly? Show's all about me and Jedi Mind Tricks, okay? Because I grew up back near there, right? Okay. So, it says here, back in the 1950s, police in the city of Philly used the term to describe the chaos that ensued on the day after Thanksgiving, when hordes of suburban shoppers and tourists flooded into the city in advance of the big Army-Navy football game held on that Saturday every year. So not really Black Friday. Well, yeah. They would go there for the game that was on Saturday and wreak havoc on Friday, Black Friday, before. So not only would Philly cops not be able to take the day off, but they would have to work extra long shifts dealing with the additional crowds and traffic. Shoplifters would also take advantage of the bedlam in stores to make off with merchandise, adding to the law enforcement headache. By 1961, the term Black Friday had caught on in Philly to the extent that the city merchants and boosters tried unsuccessfully to change it to, quote, Big Friday to remove the negative connotations. But it didn't work out so well. And there you go. But Black Friday isn't so far off from the spirit of the term of supporting our capitalist structures, which, you know, I'm the first guy to get behind the problems of capitalism. But I readily accept that while it's not a perfect system, it is probably the best thing we got. I'm definitely, you know, communism failed miserably a few times. But our job, our mission as Americans, or any democracy that has a capitalist system, is to keep these rich, greedy people in check. That's our mission. That's our job. And in fact, Vinny Paz on the Jedi Mind Tricks album I just listened to talked about, on one track, about how the mission, the job of citizens within a democracy is to be well informed. And the problem, and I'm paraphrasing, these aren't, the lyrics suggest this, and the argument is that when you're not well informed, you're not doing your part. You have to be a well informed citizen for democracy to work. And the problem is, in capitalism, they bought up the news. They own the news. News is a business, which is the same problem that healthcare is a business. When you have these for-profit motives, it introduces greed. Now, at the same time, it also introduces competition, which is good. So we're constantly playing this balancing game, but it's good. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean? So when you got independent thinkers and researchers such as myself, I play a role because I want to give you information that sometimes runs counter to the mainstream media narrative. And the problem with the mainstream media narrative is the financial interest involved. Like, we all know the mainstream media. You watch the commercials. You see who's paying their bills. Big Pharma. And then the news is out here telling you how to be healthy. Oh, really? Thanks. All the commercials for the fast food and the GMO food. Big Pharma pills, you know. Doesn't take much to add two and two together on this one. So there you go. What do we do with all this information? In conclusion, what do we do? What do we do? Well, you got to support capitalist structures in some ways, but you got to keep them in check in other ways. And don't fall for the manipulation, right? We talked about Elwer Bernays for 3 episodes a few years back, the Self of the Century documentary. And you saw how the capitalist structures wanted to manipulate you into buying diamond rings and eating bacon for breakfast. But Thanksgiving, should we cancel Thanksgiving? No, hell no. Should we have a understanding that there's been some atrocities that have occurred in the founding of this country? 100%. Absolutely. But should we hang our heads in shame, or should we just acknowledge it, own it, have sympathy and empathy for other people, knowing that the roots of this country maybe gave them a more difficult road, a more difficult journey? Yeah, we should. And I don't know what the answer is to solve that. I'd like to think it's like any other form of communications. I bring it down to the local level with a marriage. Sometimes, better yet, you know what? Better yet, I'll give you an example from entertainment because that's what I do here. If you've ever seen the movie White Men Can't Jump, right? Rosie Perez and Woody Harrelson, they're in there. They're in bed. And Rosie's like, damn, I'm thirsty. And Woody, he wants to jump up. He's like, let me get you some water, babe. She's like, nah. You know, women are always like a million steps ahead of men. Like, you guys are like playing chess weird games in your head. I don't know what you do. It's just different. And Rosie's like, no. I don't need you to get me water. Because men, like, we like to solve things, right? We're programmed, we're wired to solve problems. And women, like, they're more intuitive, more emotional. Like, both the male and female sort of polarities both offer up something very great. And Rosie's like, no, I don't need you to get me a water. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? You said you're thirsty. I'm just trying to help. And she's like, no, I need you to say, I also know what it's like to be thirsty. Sometimes that's all you got to do. Identify and become aware and listen and understand the other person's struggle. I'd like to think that that's the solution here. So there you go. My words of wisdom from a movie I watched in the 90s, and I haven't seen it for probably 20 years. I just know it because I had that same exact issue with Josie the other night. The hell was it? We had an argument about something, and I wanted to solve the problem. She's like, I don't need you to solve the problem. I want you to know that my back hurts. I'm like, okay. You know, it's just differences. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. There you go. All right. Hope you enjoyed that show. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Try not to fight with your family. If you do, keep it nonviolent. Keep your debates and discussions friendly. And take advantage of my Gumroad offer. This is the last time you're going to see it. I'm not doing this again. I'm bleeding now. I'm in the red, baby. I'm bleeding now. I'm giving away all my books. Half off, you'll never see this offer again because I'm losing money on some of these sales. Because when I do the math on some of them, I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? Especially the bundles. They might be all gone by now. Thank goodness. So anyways, check it out. Gumroad.com/IsaacW. Link in the show notes as always. Use the code ONELOVE, all one word. I'm running that deal until Tuesday the 30th, and I'm turning it off. Hopefully the supplies run out by then. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it again. So yeah, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for your support. Till next time, stay woke.